If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. I want to begin reading tonight at verse 4. God will be our help, and we'll just give you what the Lord's give us. See what He has for us this evening. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4. The Bible says, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? When then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Every one turned to his own course as a horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do I say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribe is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, nor leaves shall fade. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the deceitful cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble. The snorting of the horses was heard from Dan, and the whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, crocodiles, among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the city, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their grave images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? As you look at this night, I'd like to preach for just a minute, if God will be my help, on this thought: choose a side, it's our liberty. Choose a side, it's our liberty. As I was looking at this and thinking about this, I was thinking of, you know, we're living in a day and hour right now when there's no time for indecisiveness. We need to decide today whether or not we're going to live for the Lord. We have to make that determination in our own heart, and we have to settle it in our own mind today that we're going with God. Amen? You have to do it individually. I have to do it individually. That's an individual thing that we have to do. We're living in the land of the free, in the land of the brave. Amen? And we have the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. Ain't you glad for that today? We could be in some of these third world countries where you're not allowed to worship God. You're not allowed to assemble like we are here. But thank God, because of our Constitution of the United States, we have that liberty tonight. And I want to say I thank God for the men that gave their lives for this nation so that we could have that liberty so that we could celebrate liberty in the United States on July the 4th and say, thank God for the liberty that's been given because of a just and a righteous God. Amen. It's not nothing because that we've done, but praise God, it's what God done through some people that stood on something and had some faith to believe that God was real. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I got to think on that. And as I was studying her yesterday, I got to thinking on her amendment. The First Amendment. You know what the First Amendment is? The First Amendment. You say, oh, Scripture, I know what that is. You know, I don't think many people know what that is because most people say, well, that's the separation of church and state. Amen. It could be no farther from the truth. Our First Amendment, it says this. Let me read it to you tonight and just share a couple of things with you. And then we'll go, because I want to use it as a diving board off into the message, okay? Our Constitution, the First Amendment, says this. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amen? That's the First Amendment of the United States. I don't see nothing in there that says separation of church and state. Do you? Amen? Because it's not there. That is not there nowhere. It's not a separation. The word separation of church and state is nowhere in our Constitution. It never was. It never will be. Amen? Because we cannot separate the church and the state. But we see this in here, and I got to look at this. Let me just show you something here. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment. And now that respecting means relating or regarding an establishment. Now what is an establishment? They're talking about here an establishment of a national or a state religion. That's what he was talking about. That's what our founding fathers intended for it to be. And now they try to take the establishment clause and say, well, you know, it's established that we're not allowed to do things for God in public. But that could be no farther from the truth. God gives us the right and the liberty here, like our founding fathers set it up to be, that we would have the right and the liberty to assemble together and worship God, to magnify Him no matter where we're at. Amen? He said, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, it didn't say thereof at the church house or thereof at school. He said thereof. That means thereof anywhere. Amen. He said, or abridging the freedom of speech. Now, that word abridging, it means to shortening, lessening, or depriving. Amen. So they're saying, but if they tell you that you can't pray at school, then they're abridging your rights. They're lessening and depriving you of your right to freedom of speech. Now, the ACLU, they're all up in arms over these liberties that people should have. What about for a Christian? Why are they not pitching a fit for Christians that we have the rights and the liberties, praise God, to stand up and proclaim our faith? Amen. But they won't say a word about that because it's ungodly. They're ungodly. Amen. They won't stand up for the godly. But that separation in church and state, that separation of church and state, it was mentioned. They get that from what Thomas Jefferson said in January the 1st of 1802. Thomas Jefferson was writing to the church in Danbury, Connecticut, the Danbury, Connecticut Baptists, and he was telling them, he said, hey, listen, because the way our Constitution's written, said there's a wall of separation that they can't come in and infringe on the church. They can't tell you what to do in the church. And we took and turned that upside down and used that as there's a separation between church and state. It was never intended to be that way. And this way, and Thomas Jefferson actually had written that 10 or 12 years after the Declaration of Independence had done been signed. Amen? Amen. It was just a statement that he had made and it didn't have nothing to do with the Constitution. See, we messed up. There's a couple of congressmen has stood up, and I'm proud of them. They stood up and said, you know what? You talk about this separation church and state. It's not in there. Amen? And it's not. It's not. It was the key. It was to keep the state out of the church, but it wasn't to keep the church out of the state. We have a right and a liberty. We have a responsibility, praise God, to take part in our government. Amen? I've heard people say, well, preacher, you know, church or just stay out of government and let the heathen rule. That's lunatic. That don't even make sense. We've got to be involved, people. We've got to be involved in everything that's going on. If not, we're going to be sucked into something, praise God, that we're never going to get out of. because it's a vacuum. We need God in everything. In 1892, the Supreme Court, now they're saying that we need to take God out of everything. We need to take it off. We need to take the Ten Commandments down. They take them out of the court out. Take God off everything. But in the council of in 1892, the Supreme Court, in the Trinity decision, declared, and I quote, "This is a Christian nation." Now, contrary to what President Obama says, the Supreme Court in the Trinity decision in 1892, amen, see, it proclaimed and established that this is a Christian nation. Somebody needs to go back and take our president by the hand and give him a good old-fashioned history lesson. Amen? Just tell him where we come from and what we stand for. Praise God. Ain't you glad, praise God, that you stand for something tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to stand and haven't done all to stand. John Quincy Adams picked up on that when the Trinity decision, and he said the highest glory of the American Revolution was it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Amen. John Quincy Adams had enough sense to say, hey, you know what? They finally figured it out that government can't work without God. Amen. We've got to have God in our government, just like we've got to have God in our homes, or it won't work. Amen. It won't work without God. It just creates a mess and turmoil. Amen. You can ask every one of these folks. I've counseled with some of them, Christy and Amanda, before they got married, and I've talked to them. The first thing that we talked about is their relationship with the Lord and their relationship with the home church. Amen. That you got to have that relationship because that is where you get help. Outside of the local assembly of believers, praise God, like Miss Carol was talking about tonight, is the place that we get help. Outside of that, there is no help. What's wrong with America tonight? What's wrong with America tonight? We've got God on the outside trying to get in. Amen? God used to be in the middle of the United States of America. Amen? There was a time that we would magnify God. Matter of fact, in a lot of our things, I got to thinking about this day and I wrote some of them down. Then it's just dropping a bucket. It said, you know, on our money it says, "In God we trust." On a lot of our buildings it's labeled in concrete, "In God we trust." The Supreme Court building was built in 1930. It was in the carvings on that building built in 1930 have got carvings of Moses and the Ten Commandments in 1930. Amen. If God wasn't in it from the beginning, why did they carry it over into the 1930s? Amen. We've kicked God out in the last 25 years. We've just got God that said, we just don't want God no more. The oaths in court is invoked from the very beginning. It was invoked by God in the very beginning. Amen. Whenever we would make an oath. The prayer is that swearing in of every president. They pray to God, don't they? Amen? But the swearing in of every president, we pray to God. When the president swears in, he's sworn in on the Bible. Amen? Original Constitution of all 50 states. Did you know this? Every one of them mentions God in their Constitution. That He is that higher power that helps us to succeed. And without Him, we cannot succeed. Did you know that? Every Constitution of every state in the United States. And there was a time, youngins, now listen to me, there was a time that the Bible was the textbook for many years of this nation. It was what our children learned to read and write out of. And as they learned to read and write, they learned about that good God that would carry them through. Is there any wonder that we're in the mess that we're in? Can you see where we slipped? You can see where we've slid back? Amen. Because we've taken our eyes off of God. But we need to choose a side tonight because it's our liberty. It's what we need to do. See, we've been going through so much and we keep asking the question, what? Amen? We're constantly asking the question, what? In the day and hour that we live. When the weeping prophet Jeremiah was pinning this down for us. And a weeping prophet was weeping for a reason. You know why he was weeping? Because he was living in a day just like me and you are living in right now. He was living in a time when God and God's people had turned their back on the holy God. They had lived in a time when they had been prosperous and God had blessed them and they turned their back and they said, we don't need God no more. We've got all these other gods. We've got the things of the world. We can do all right. Amen? So they chose to go their own way. So that's what the old prophet Jeremiah was a-weeping over. See, the nation was profitable, and they done just like us. They forgot their roots. They forgot what they was established on. They forgot where they come from. They forgot the very reason why we came to the United States of America, so that we could worship God in spirit and in truth like He says to. Amen? But in the day and hour we're living in, I don't know that we're not asking the wrong question. We have teenage pregnancy that's out of sight, highest it's ever been. Young girls getting pregnant. And I want to say, praise God, listen, you young boys, you young girls, the Bible says that you're not supposed to touch a woman. You young men, the Bible says you're not supposed to touch a woman. Amen? And that the marriage bed is undefiled. So when do you touch that woman? When you take her to the marriage bed. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That's when you touch, are allowed to touch a woman. Amen. But we're living in a time that there's teenage pregnancies, there's AIDS and alcoholism, there's drug addiction, and just go on and on and on all over this land. It's an epidemic. And we come to ourselves and we say, well, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to fix that problem of teenage pregnancy? What do we need to do to fix that problem of that alcoholism, of that drug addiction? What do we need to do? But you know what the problem is tonight? Praise God, we're not answering, we're not asking the right question. Amen? Look what God says. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6. He said, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of a shadow of death? The old prophet asked this question. He said, where's the Lord? Amen. See, the question that we need to ask today is, where's the Lord in all this? Where's the Lord at while all our children being sucked into the abyss of hell? Where is the Lord God of glory while all our children are going by the wayside and the devil's just raking them in by the armloads? Where's God? But I'm so thankful that through the Word of God that God answers for Himself. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse 27. Nobody's asking the right questions. But God answers for Himself. He said, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. But notice what God says, asks for answers for Himself. He says, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their faces. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Amen? Don't that sound like America? Do you remember 9/11, September the 9th, 2011? 2001? Do you remember what took place? The towers in New York was destroyed. They was taken out. Over 3,000 people were murdered, massacred up there in that place. And the next day when the church house opened, praise God, people piled in. They was praying. They was seeking God's face. They was lining up. They said, where are you, God? We need you now. Amen. I wonder why I wonder why we can't call upon Him, praise God, when He is nigh. Amen. But they begin to ask the question. But listen to what God answers for Himself, verse 28. He said, but where are thy gods that thou hast made? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Amen. He said, you got your little gods in every city. He said, why don't they rise up and help you? Why are you calling on me now? Amen. Can't you just see a picture of the United States of America in your mind? I mean, poor old weeping prophet, praise God, he was right there where we are today. Amen. We trust the Lord. We love the Lord. But when we're in trouble, when we need help, but when we ain't in trouble, when we don't need help, where's the Lord? We could care less. Amen. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm just being truthful. The world that we're living in could care less where the Lord is. But the Lord asked a question. See, in verse 28, He says, hey, listen, I'm not going to let you use me for a crutch. Hello? God says, hey, I'm not going to be a crutch for you. If you don't trust in me all the time, praise God, I'm not going to come to your rescue right quick, fast, in a hurry when you get in a bind. Hello? Boy, that ought to give you something to take home with you and think about. Amen. You get out there and you push God back and go by yourself and do what you your own thing all through the week, all through the month, all through the year. And you get in a bind and you call and say, "Oh Lord, I need help." Well, He may just take His time getting to you. You say, "Preacher, God wouldn't do it." Really? What happened to Lazarus? What, do you remember whenever they called and said he's sick unto death? The Lord tarried, didn't He? Several days. He said, well, he sleepeth. He said, "Let's go up. He sleepeth." He said, "Well, if he sleeps, he doeth good." He said, "No." I said, "You don't understand. He's dead. He's died." Amen. But he said, "But it was for your good that I wasn't there." Amen. Sometimes God just He'll let you out. If you want to use Him for a crutch, He'll be your crutch. But praise God, He'll be that when it's in the closet you got to go hunt for. Amen. Hello? Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. But while we're asking all the questions, what? God wants us to ask the questions, why? Why is all this taking place? Let me give you about a four right quickly tonight. I'll give you four questions that God's asking America tonight, and I'll let you go. I know you got lots of plans for tomorrow. Four questions. Questions God's asking America. And America, hey, listen, we need the answers. See, I think that's what our government, our families, and our representatives, amen, our state and local, all of them, they need the right answers. What is? They're asking questions, but they're not getting no answers. They don't have the right answers. But notice what questions God's asking. In verse 5, He said, "Why is this people slid back?" Now, this is a question to the American public. We can put this question tonight to the American public. Question one to American public. Why has this people slid back? Why have they slid back? Why are they going back on God? Why ain't they staying close to God? Why are they letting themselves drift away? He answers it in the same verse. He said, "They hold fast deceit and they refuse to return." Amen. Why are they like this? Because they hold fast to deceit and they refuse to return. The deceitfulness of the mind, praise God, they're deceived by the things of this world and things that say, "Well, I've got to do this and I've got to do it." Listen, you don't have to do nothing but pay taxes and die. Amen. Really? I know there's a lot of things we need to try to do. But it's like my granddaddy said, the older I get, the more I fall in line with him. If I can't do it tomorrow, then it don't matter anyway. Yeah. Amen. Not that I'd say I'm a procrastinator. I try to get done what I can. But praise God, if it's not tomorrow, it ain't going to matter anyway. But he said, we're caught up in deceitfulness, praise God, and they refuse to turn back. Even when God begins to rebuke them, when God begins to tell them, "Hey, listen, you're not going the wrong way. I've got help for you if you'll turn to me." But they keep on pushing God back and the deceitfulness of their heart, praise God. The heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. We can't even know our own heart. And we're trying to overcome it, trying to overcome our mind, praise God. And we need just to cast our cares upon the Lord because He's caring for us. He's the one that does that. We can't do it on our own. So we need to ask our question to the American public, why has this people slid back? Because of deceit and refusal to turn around. Question number two, to the American pew. That's me and you. Amen. Verse 14, why do we sit still? Why do we sit still? Why do we take what the government passes out to us? We just like a bunch of sheep. We just sit there and say, "Oh, well, ain't nothing you can do about it." You know what happens? Why everybody's running over us? Because the squeaky wheel gets the grease. What it is, there's a lot of wheels out there squeaking a whole lot more than we are. I wonder what would happen if everybody... Now, they say that in the United States that over 87% of the population of the United States claim to have some form of Christianity. If 87% of the United States of America begin to rise up and to squeak, they would have to listen. Amen? The government, our elected representatives would have to listen. And I tell you, when we go to the polls and there's somebody in there that's not voting what's right according to the eyes of God, we need to go to the polls in flocks and we need to vote them out. and let them know why. Amen. You said, preacher, you're talking politics. No, I'm talking about being a good child of God. Standing up, getting out of the deceitfulness, getting our eyes open and seeing God. But the question to the American people, why do we sit still? The answer is in verse 14. He says, assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there. He said, let's go in, praise God, to the defense cities. He said, let's go wait on the Lord. Let's listen to what He's got to say, because we know He can do great and marvelous and wonderful things. Amen. But He said, we've got to assemble ourselves together, praise God, and we got to stand for what's right. Now, I want to say something to you tonight, church. This is just a little, small, independent missionary Baptist church. But if every person in here, praise God, would settle in your heart that we're going to go for God, we're going to stand up and be heard, we're going to proclaim the gospel everywhere we go, we're going to tell people about Jesus, amen, we're going to take a stand in this last day that we live, praise God, I wonder what would happen to the community that we live in. Amen. But why do we sit still? He said, why do you sit still? Now, God's asking these questions. Amen. God's asking, why do you sit still? He said, why has this people slid back? Why do these people sit still? Amen. Number three, the question to our American politicians out of verse 19. He said, why have they provoked me to anger? Amen. I could just see him asking this to the American's politician. He said, why have you provoked me to anger? Why have you done those things, praise God, that you know I hate? The answer is in verse 19. Why have you provoked me to anger with your graven images and your strange vanities? Hey, have you ever seen a more vain person than President Obama? I've never seen a president that had to be on TV every day. And bless his heart, if he didn't have a teleprompter, he couldn't say, Sue, if the hog's eating him. But he's on there. I've never seen nobody that had to be on there every day. You'd think he'd be trying to get some counsel from good people, knowledgeable people, so he'd know how to run the country. Well, it's going the way he wants it to. Amen. But he said that he's angry because they're graven images and they're strange vanities. He said, hey, listen, they're chasing everything in the world. They're chasing the worldliness. They're trying to draw in this one world order. We're trying to be everything to everybody. He said, we're so vain that we stand up and we said, hey, there's going to be, he said right over in, our president said right over in Berlin, he said, there's got to be one that'll come up, praise God, that's going to take over, is going to rule, and is going to put the word out, and everybody's going to believe him, and he's going to be a one world leader. And he did say, I'm not him, but he just smiled when they called him the Messiah. We're living in a world of vanities, idol worshipers. Amen. We're worshiping everything under the sun. You say, well, preacher, that's not, we don't really worship idols. We don't. Anything that we put before God is an idol. Amen. Amen. If we put it before God, it's an idol. It's something that needs to be put down. Praise the Lord. So we have three questions. The fourth question, it's to the American pulpit. It's the men and men behind this sacred desk. And the question he is asked is, why is there no recovery? In verse 22. He said, why is there no recovery? And he answered, he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no... He said, why is there no recovery? It's a question to the pulpit of the United States of America. These United States of America that we live, praise God, it's because of the stand that we take, because of the way that we live our lives. The way that we don't challenge our people, praise God, to do that that's right. It's time to stand up and realize, praise God, that we've got to be telling our people truth and the aspects of life, praise God, that they can grow on. So we can grow spiritually, praise God, in a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're failing greatly. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Now, Gilead was a country east of Jordan. And if you know the story, you know that there's a balsam tree there that is good for to make a salve that was a healing ointment. But they used to make healing ointment. And all the in biblical time, all the physicians kind of flocked to that area because of the balm of Gilead. Amen? So what God's telling us here, he's asking, why is there no recovery? He said, because you've got the cure And he said, you've got the physician. He said, why are not people flocking, amen, to be healed? Amen. Hey, listen, we've got the cure. Amen, it's the Word of God. And we've got the physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are not people flocking to be healed? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I think we're failing to lift up Jesus. We're failing to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Amen. We need to be lifting Him up because He is that cure. Amen. There's no healing because we're not going to the cure. We're not going to the cure, going to the physician to get the cure. Amen. The physician is Lord Jesus Christ. If we get to Him, He'll cure us. He'll heal us. He'll heal us of our sin sickness. He'll heal us of our deceitfulness. He'll heal us of our waywardness, of our backsliding. Amen. He'll draw us closer than we've ever been. But we have to choose a side because it's our liberty. We have the liberty tonight to choose to be on His side. We have a liberty tonight to choose the Lord Jesus Christ and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We have the liberty tonight to choose a side. It's our liberty. And we can't blame the politicians tonight. Amen. We can't blame them for the fall of America. We can't blame our neighbors for the fall of America. Amen. Who can we blame? The only person we can blame is ourselves. Amen. Why? Because we haven't been asking the questions why. We can ask the question what. We can do that tonight. You want to ask the question what? Look at verse 6. See, I hearkened and heard. Now, this is God speaking. Now, He says, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Amen. Everyone turned to his course as a horse rushes into the battle. He said, hey, here's the what. If we want to ask the what, we can ask the question, what have I done? I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed nobody. Amen. I haven't carried off women by the hair of the head or nothing. I'm a pretty good person. But he said, hey, listen, God's been speaking to our hearts, telling us, showing us our wickedness, and praise God, we haven't recognized it. You know, it's a pretty sad shape. The country's in a pretty sad shape when the President of the United States goes to Africa. Oh, you know, by the way, we promised them $7 billion. So I hope you got... Could you get another job? Because they need more tax money. Because he promised Africa $7 billion. But it's a pretty sad shape of our country when the President of the United States goes there and he made a big speech and he said, you know what? He said, you need to be more forgiving. This homosexuality that you outlaw, that's against the law in Africa, hello? And we think of it as a heathen nation. It's against the law. He said, you need to be more open-minded. You need to allow... Well, he left. The president of Africa spoke and he said, hey, listen. He said, we appreciate President Obama. And we appreciate all the things that America does for us, the monies and the help that they give us. But don't come to us and try to tell us what's right, because we stand as a Christian nation upon the truth of the Word of God that sodomy is an abomination in the eyes of God, and we will not change for America. Amen. The mayor of Kenya, they said, stood up in the church. Now, this is his hometown, by the way. Stood up in the church and he said, hey, listen, so let me tell you this. The President of the United States was here and we appreciate him. We know what he stands for. Now this was two different places, two different times, and two different assemblies. This was at a church in Kenya, Africa. And he said, but we will not bow to the United States. We will not change our morals and our convictions for no country. We appreciate all they do for it, but we will not support anything that God says is wrong. Because we are a Christian nation. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice if we could stand up one more time in these United States of America, lift our head up high, praise God, and say, praise God to glory. We are a Christian nation. Amen. But we can't tonight. It ain't nobody's fault but our own. It's our own fault that we can't do it because we've said, what have I done? And we ought to have been asking, why is this going on? Why are our children getting pregnant? Why are our children being drug off into drug and alcohol addiction? Why are they getting caught up in these pornography? Why? We ought to be asking the question, why? Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. You know it very well. Jeremiah 6 and 16. Now, a lot of times we quote this verse and we say that Jeremiah said. Jeremiah didn't say this. The Lord said this. God Jehovah. Amen. If you look, that's big L, big L, big O, big R, and big D. That's God Almighty. Amen. It said, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 6, 16, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen. But they said, we will not walk therein. Amen. I wonder what America is saying tonight. God said, if you'll seek out the old path, the old way, walk therein. The old way, and see. He said, see what God can do. Amen. He was challenging them. He said, see what God, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Ask for that good way. Amen. Ask God to bring us back where we used to be. I pray all the time, Lord, do it again, praise God. Give us revival like we used to have. Give us your spirit like it used to be. Give us a desire for the Holy Ghost of God and for meetings, Lord, one more time where God was magnified and glorified. Do it again, God. But people saying, we're not going to walk. God saying, you need to go. This is the way. If you want to get there, this is what you got to do. But people saying, nope, I'm not going that way. The Lord's saying it. Amen. This is the way you need to go. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. And he said, then I'll heal their land. But he said, my people's going to have to get, he said, we're sitting still. He said, why are you sitting still? See, God's asking these questions. He asked Israel, in this one chapter, ask Israel four times. He said, why has this people slid back? Why do we sit still? Why have they provoked me to anger? Why is there no recovery? Amen. But he has the answer. He said, because of the balm of Gilead, it's there. It's the cure. But nobody's running to the physician. Amen. Listen, it's time to choose a side. Why? Because it's our liberty. It's our liberty. It's what God. It's our God-given liberty to choose a side tonight. A side of God's side. Amen. For life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. Where's it at? Our founding fathers knew where it was at. Amen. They said, hey, it's with God. You know, it's a funny thing. They won't take God out of everything. But when Congress opens to do what they do, they open every morning with prayer. Ain't it amazing that they're allowed to have prayer in Congress, in the Senate, but we're not allowed to have prayers in the schoolhouse? Something's not right there. Because if you can't start with the little ones, how can we have them right when they get to be big ones? God help us. We're a mess. We've got this thing upside down. But God says we need to quit asking what. What can we do now? We need to ask the question, why is it that way? You know what we need to do tonight? We need to ask the question. I thought about this as I was preparing this yesterday and today. And I thought to myself, you know, if we ask our question, why? Amen. See, we got all these problems and situations in our homes, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community. And what do we do now? What do we do about it? But we need to back up and we say, Lord, why are we in the shape that we're in? In other words, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, where did we get away from you? Where did we get off track? Lord, help us to be back on track. What did we do? Why are we in this mess? Hey, God's got the answers. I guarantee you get to ask Him with sincere heart, He'd take you right back where you got off track. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about his relationship, and he had a wife and kids and all this, and they were doing good, and they was prospering. I mean, they were happy. They were, you know, he was going to church. They had a boat and they had a house and just had a nice, loving, happy family. And he said everything just blowed up. He said he lost everything. Don't have nothing now. lost his wife, his kid. He's lost his home. Don't even have a place to live. And as he was telling me this, when he got done, I waited till he got finished. Amen. I tried to be a good listener. You know, he said listen twice, speak once. So I tried to do that. And when he got done, I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, where did it all go bad? He said, well, I don't know, preacher. I don't. I said, let me tell you where it went bad. I said, did you get out of church? And he just hung his head. I said, did you get out of the will of God? He just kept that head hung. I said, did you turn your back on God? Couldn't say a word. Big old tears in his eyes. Amen. He lost it all. You lose it all, get your mind off God. Amen. But we need to ask our God. We need to say, Lord, why? Why are we in the situations that we're in? And Lord, how do we fix it? How do we proceed from here? We can't go back and change the past, but we can change the future. Amen. Lord John, we can change the future. One soul, one family member at a time. Amen. When we change ourselves into what God would have us to be. Amen. When we begin to ask, why? Why, Lord? Why am I in this mess? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I not in a relationship, a closer relationship with you? Amen. Forget about the whats and begin to ask the whys. Why, Lord? And see what He does for you. Amen.